Morning, everybody. Welcome to the Hill. It's good to have all of you here. Good to see you in your place this morning. I want to ask you, if you will, if this is your first time with us, you'll look inside your Sunday bulletin. We have what we call a Life Point outline in there. I ask you, if you will, to pull that out so that you can follow along as we go through God's Word this morning. Looking forward to sharing this Word with you. Christmas is about gifts. It's about giving gifts, and it's about receiving gifts. And we launch Christmas really with probably the most famous verse of all in the Word of God, and that's John 3:16. And I want us to look at that this morning. And my prayer is that I'm going to give you this morning what I hope is going to be like a fresh approach on this abiding truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the things that my family, I want our family to do, and I want your family to do at this Christmas season, when Christmas Day rolls around, it is just to rehearse again what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what makes Christmas really, really special, is what Christ came to do and what he accomplished. And maybe, in part, some of that has begun to wane from your thoughts. And so I want to kind of do a refresher for you in a way that I hope will be uplifting to you this morning. So we're going to look at John 3:16. You know it very well, but if you've got God's Word in front of you, I'd like for you just to open it up and look at it because it's just good to do that. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved that he what? He gave. He gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. One of the things that my family needs to remember, and I want your family to remember as well, is that Christmas, the fact that we have it, is because of one important reality, and that is that the God who formed me in my mother's womb, the God who brought about my birth out of all the possibilities that could have happened from my mom and my dad loving each other and coming together in marriage, God so loved the world that he had you and I, each of us that are in this world, he had us born. He knew us from before the world began. And the thing I've said again and again and again from Scripture is God wants us to remember that none of us are here by accident. God said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. So we're not biological events. We are plans. And that's just exciting to me that I am here by divine plan. And so is everyone in this room. And God said, I wanted you born. And he said, here's what I want you to know. He said, I so loved you that I gave. I gave. And that's really what happens at Christmas, isn't it? Because of our care for our family, we give, right? We give because we love them. And look at the first truth in your outline, if you will. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Because I love, I want to give. I want to because of that love that's in me. So God so loved the world that he gave the very first Christmas gift. And this is where I want us to be refreshed. I want you to listen to Romans 8:32. Since God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, then can we not expect that with him, God will freely give us all his gifts? So the Bible says if God loves me enough and he loves you enough to send Jesus Christ to come and die on the cross for us, and Jesus loved us enough to come and give himself for us, then God says, I want you to draw the parallel and I want you to realize I love you enough to die for you. And that means that I love you enough that I want to take care of your needs in your life right now. Now, I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to going to heaven. I'm looking forward to being with the Lord someday. And that's great. I have that comfort. But I've also got needs right now. I've got needs in my life, and so do you. Would you agree with that? We all have those. And what God is saying is, not only do I love you enough to give you hope in eternity, I love you enough to take care of your needs right now. That's the thing that battles some of us from being able to worship from them, is because of the concerns that we have. God says, I love you enough that I want to help you pay your bills. And he gives us directions through the word. He said, I love you enough that I want to help you with your health. And of course, for me, that's special. And I know for many of you, that's special as well. God says, I want to be there for you. And I want to help you in those relationships in your life. Your relationship with your husband, with your wife, with your children, with your parents, with the friends here in the fellowship. God says, I want to help you with that because you and I are all broken and everything doesn't work out well. But God says, I want to help you with that. And that's really what I just want to bring up to you in a fresh way. I want you to fall in love with Jesus all over again. And that's been my journey this week. And I want you to look at this next truth in your outline. All of God's gifts to me and to you are wrapped up in Jesus. Now, I know you know that, but I want to do a refresher on that. And we're looking forward to maybe opening up some special gifts on Christmas morning. Have you ever had one of those Christmas presents that was maybe like a bigger box, and you tear into that and you open it up, and then you get inside and there's another box? And then you tear that open and you look inside and there's another box. And you're like, well, this was really going to be something, but it keeps getting smaller. And you keep doing that until finally you get to that gift that is in there. And so what God is saying to you and me is that at Christmas, God's big gift that he gives to us is the Lord Jesus Christ. That God so loved me and so loved you so much that he gave us his son to die for us on the cross. I never want to get away from that. But Jesus is the big gift. But Jesus is the big gift, and inside him are a lot of other gifts. In fact, do you realize the word gift or gifts is mentioned 66 times in the New Testament? That means that gifts is a major theme of Holy Scripture, the whole idea of gifts. And so what I want to do is I want us to do like a three-point journey into the gifts that God gives me and gives you in Jesus Christ that I pray will put you on shouting ground in just a fresh way. All right, what is this first gift? The first thing when I come to faith in Jesus Christ, the first thing the Father gives me in Jesus is God gives me a new identity. This is one of the first great truths that God the Holy Spirit put inside of me in me just getting into the Word. You know, every one of us have a concept as to who you and I are, who we are as a person. Our identity, if you will. You've got an idea of your identity. But here's the thing. Where we get our identity, how we see ourselves, is very, very important. There are usually three sources. I did not give these in your notes, but you can write them down. There's usually three sources for us getting our identity. Many of us get our identity from our work, what we do. I'm a truck driver, I'm a nurse, I'm a cop, I'm a pastor. And we get our identity from that. We can also get our identity from our relationships. I'm a dad, I'm a mom, I'm a boss. And then we also, number three, get our identity from things. And we look at ourselves, how we look at ourselves is based upon where we live. You feel good about yourself because of where you live. You feel good about yourself because of what you drive. You feel good about yourself because of how you look and how you dress. And so you're getting your identity from things or from relationship or from work. If you look in your notes, let me give us all a fresh word of advice. Never base your identity on something you can lose. I can lose my job, and so can you. We can lose our spouse. A husband or wife can go home before we would expect it. And one of us, and I've said this often, when every man and woman stands at the altar, one of the things, of course, they don't think about, but one of the things that they ultimately know is that one of them is going to go first. One of them is going to be left behind. We can lose our health. We can lose our good looks. I remember growing up, there are these guys that I admired in high school. I knew a bunch of guys, and there were not that made up our football team, basketball team, softball team, and all that. And these guys really built their identity on their athletic ability. They loved being called a jock. You know what I'm saying? They loved that. They were the jock. The thing is, you know, the year count on my high school reunions has really risen. And one of the things I notice when I look at some of the pictures, haven't been able to make one yet. They always want to have it on a time when I can't be there. But now 20 or 30 years later, I look at some of those guys and they're not a jock anymore. It's kind of a joke. Their ability is gone. You know, those guys used to have that V shape. They're more like a, you know, an hourglass or whatever. You know, for a true identity that you cannot lose, you have to come to God for that. God says, I want to give you ability that can't be taken away. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I give this to you in your notes. When someone accepts Christ, in other words, when we accept the big gift that God so loved the world that he gave, when someone accepts Christ, the big gift, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Jesus called this in John chapter 3, being born again. And we miss what the Bible is saying to us, or we may forget it. And I just want to rehearse that. Being born again, it is not the old me turning over a new leaf. When the Bible says being born again, it means a new me starting a new life. There was such a change in my life, I knew I was not the same thing. And hopefully that was the same thing for you. You know, when you watch TV shows about people starting over, it's about makeovers. And you'll see them, well, they get a new hairdo, or they get a new wardrobe, or they lose weight. The emphasis is all on the outside. But the emphasis of the Bible is not a makeover. It is a fresh start. It is starting something new. It is a new beginning. It doesn't mean that we are perfect, or that we never sin, or that we never struggle. This is what it means. It means I don't identify myself by my struggle. I am still in a broken body. I still have sin issues. But I am no longer my sin issue. And there are a lot of them, aren't there? A lot of people are held by their past who've been born again. They still think of themselves as an adulterer or as an addict or as a home wrecker or homosexual or transgender or a liar or a fornicator or a thief. I want you to look at the truth in your outline. A huge mistake once you're in Christ is to let your failures and your faults define you. That is why I've shared this again and again at different times. I envision, and I still hang on to that, I want to see the day when the Hill has a recognized, functioning Celebrate Recovery program right here on this hill. Now, at Alcoholics Anonymous, and I want you to understand, I am not in any way would I even dream of dissing that organization. They have helped so many people. But there is something that I think that is even beyond that. They have helped so many people. But what Jesus has done is he takes it a step further. You know, in AA, and you hear it sometimes on TV, or maybe you've seen it, they'll say, like, if I was in there, hello, my name is John, I'm an alcoholic, or I'm an addict, or I'm an embezzler. And what you want to be careful is that your primary identity doesn't come from your greatest weakness. At Celebrate Recovery, the difference would be this. Hello, my name is John. I am a child of God who struggles with alcohol. I am a child of God who struggles with lying. I am a child of God who struggles with same-sex attraction. You see, there is an enormous difference between those two things. You see that? If you do, say amen. Amen. That is in Christ, I am not my weakness. I am broken, yes, but that is not who I am. That is my sin, but it is not me. In Christ, I am not a sinner who every now and then acts like a saint. I am a saint of God who every now and then acts like a sinner. And there's a huge difference between those two. And the ceremony where we publicly identify that we're new men and women is called baptism. And in baptism, I am saying I am a new me. And when the pastor puts me under the water, that is a picture of the death and the burial of the old me. And when I come up out of the water, that is the new me coming in and starting a new life. I still make mistakes. I still sin at times. But I am fundamentally not what I used to be. I am no longer what I used to be. And if you've not been baptized by immersion or at all, we're going to be baptizing right after the first of the year in the month of January. And we are ready to help you. And today you can let me know, Pastor John, I want to be signed up for baptism. This is something I know I should have done. And I want to do that. I want to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. And so the thing that I want us to remember today, this is what I want us to celebrate. Celebrate Christmas morning. My new identity. Your new identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not what I'm going to be, but thank God I'm not what I was. Amen? Amen. And then number two, not only do I celebrate my new identity, I celebrate my new ability. I have a new ability. It's the second gift. It is the power to change. The Bible says that life change doesn't come by willpower. That's not what we believe. It doesn't come by willpower. It comes by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, working inside me. Listen, willpower doesn't work. New Year's goals at the best last about 3 months. You know, I'm just waiting. January's coming. That means when I go to the gym Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, there are going to be more people in there, going to be like hair on a dog's back, as Daddy and Mama used to say. They're going to be all over there. And I'm like, man, move over. You know, and all these people are in there. But the deal is, about Valentine's Day, you're going to have all the room you need, right? Because everybody just kind of peters out, you know, and you're like, where'd they go? It's willpower. And willpower just doesn't work. It is unsustainable. Why? Because you get tired. You get weary and you quit. And what God says is, I want to give you a new ability. And what is that? It is God in me. God changes me, and then he moves inside of me. Romans 5, verse 5. God has poured out his love in our hearts. How? By means, listen, of the Holy Spirit, who is God's gift to us. Look at the truth in your outline. The Holy Spirit of God is the power of God in us to live a changed life. He is the second gift of God at Christmas. He is the gift within the gift. Now remember, when you invite Christ Jesus to save you, the Holy Spirit moves in and you are fundamentally changed at your core and you become a new man and a new woman. If that hasn't happened to you, then the salvation is not real. You cannot be saved and not change. You cannot be saved and not what? Change. You cannot do it. Why? Because you are fundamentally changed at your core. You are no longer, listen, if you made a profession of faith in Christ and there is no difference, it didn't happen. It just did not happen. Philippians 2:13. Now God works in you, listen, giving you two things, both the desire and the ability to fulfill his good purpose for you. You see, the issue is, we know the right thing to do. Knowing the right thing to do is not the issue. It is doing what we know we need to do. And so I don't need willpower. I need the ability. And God says, I can give you not only the desire, I will give you the ability to begin to live a different life. You can be a different husband. You can be a different wife. You can be a different young person. You can be different. That is what salvation means. It means you're fundamentally changed at your core. I still live in a body of flesh. I live in a body that is broken, that it is riddled with sin. I have a primary sin issue in my life, just like everybody in this building does. Every one of us has a primary sin issue. But when Jesus Christ lives inside of you, God gives us the power and the ability to overcome that and to live a new life. And so look at the insight in your outline. There is a difference between willpower and God's power. And when I come to Christ, in me is the Holy Spirit. He is in you. And so what God is saying to you at this Christmas is, call out to Him. Lord Spirit, You are God, the Holy Spirit, and I know You live inside of me, and I have not honored You. I have acted like every day I'm just all by myself, and You are in me, and I ask Your forgiveness for ignoring You. God, help me live the way I need to. Help me to be different for my wife. Help me be different for my husband. Help me be a different man, a different woman, in front of these people that I work with who do not know You. I want to be fundamentally different at my core. I want that to be seen in my daily life. Here's the next truth. Succeeding in life is not about us trying. It is about trusting the power of the Holy Spirit of God living in you. And then there's one more truth I want to give you. A changed life is lived by the grace of God. That is where we say, Father, I need Your help. God's grace is His help for us to be able to do what we need to do. God, I need Your help by Your grace and in the person of the Holy Spirit of God who is living in me through Jesus Christ, giving me the strength that comes only from God one day at a time. God helped me live for Him yesterday. What God did for me yesterday is no good for today. I need a fresh work of God in me today, right? Amen. I need a fresh work. And so that means every day I'm like, Holy Spirit, I want You to live in me. I want You to speak through me. I want You to act through me. When I am out among people, I need You to be different in me. And so, Lord, live Your life through me. So God gives me a new identity. He gives me new power through the Holy Spirit. And then number three, He gives me a new family. I cannot do life alone. I can't. And neither can you. I want you to know, God says we need a family. We need a spiritual family to support us in doing the right thing. To do the right thing. Ephesians 1 verse 4. Because of His love, God's unchanging plan has always been, listen, to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. By faith in Christ, you and I have automatically become part of God's family. We've been adopted into His family. And here's the insight. God doesn't want you and I to just believe in Jesus. He wants us to belong to His family because all of us need support. And that part of His family that God says, I want you to be a part of is His church. His church. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. That family is the church of the living God. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a business or an organization. It's not a club. It's a family. That's one of the things that we teach in our life class, in our membership class, that we're not like a family. We don't resemble a family. We are a family. And we work all the time to teach you and all of our people at each service to teach you week in and week out. We are part of a family. This is a family. It's not like a family. It is a family. He goes on to say that family is the church of the living God, the support and the foundation of the truth. And here's the next truth in your outline. Each of us need the support and a foundation for our lives. We need that. 47 years ago now, Catherine and I started a work. And for the last 47 years, she and I, along with an ever-growing group of committed men and women, have been building a community of love that we call Harmony Hill Baptist Church. And now from time to time, we just call it The Hill. And I want to tell you something. I don't want us to be famous for all of our building structure or the way our campus looks. I've had so many people come up to me at different stores and say, I just want you to know the campus at Harmony Hill looks so nice. It just looks so beautiful. You guys have done a great job. And that's fine. I'm glad to hear that. That makes me feel good. I would be less than honest if I didn't tell you that. But that's not what I want us to be known for. I don't want us to be known for our buildings. I don't want us to be known for our size, that we are a growing church. I want people to know us for our worship. I want them to know us that when they come in here, they are not just sitting in an auditorium. They're in a place where they sense the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Can you say amen to that? They just know God is here. There is something that is here. I love from time to time hearing people that say, the first Sunday we came, when I walked in the door, I sensed the presence of God in this place. Ladies and gentlemen, that is one of the most important things anybody can say about a church family. When we walked in the door, when we came on the campus, we just had that sense that God was in this place. I want people to know us for our worship. I want people to know us for the love and the support that we give to the families that make up this church. I want them to know us for the love and the support that we show to this city that you and I are planted in. God has put us here to make an impact on Lufkin, Texas, for the cause of Jesus Christ. That is the reason why we do what we do. You know, when I go to hospitals or for a surgery or into homes where somebody's died or somebody's sick, I seldom ever arrive without there already being a crowd. And I'm like, you know, I'm pastor and I try to get there as early as I can. And it's so hard now for me to get there that their life group's not already in place. And I love that. You know, I walk in and they're like, Pastor, we got this. You know, pray over them and then you can leave. That takes some adjustment, but I enjoy that. That is such a blessing because I don't have to care that way because the life group is taking care of that. The truth is all of us need support to make it through the crisis we go through. Would you agree with that? We need that. And that's why we talk about that you need the church. You need it. And some days you will need it more than you need it at other times. And when you go through a crisis period, you need to have that relationship with the church that church, they know when you're not there. Does that make sense? Now, I've had people time to time say, well, I want you to know I've gone through a hard time and the church wasn't there for me. And invariably, I am looking at a man or I'm looking at a woman who's not here. And I'm like, how did we know that you were going through that? There's no way. You didn't show up. Of course, I don't tell them that. No, I apologize. I'm sorry. You know, I take it. Okay, we messed it. We fouled up. But the reality is you can't keep up with everybody. That's the reason why we want you in a life group, because all of us need support in making it through a crisis that inevitably is going to happen in our life. We're going to have a crisis. And so in Jesus Christ, you and I get three special gifts. That's what I want you to think about this Christmas. I've gotten a new me. I'm different. How many of you can say you're different this morning? Would you say that? I'm different. I'm not maybe everything I want to be, but I am different. You know, you're different from the inside out. And number two, you've got a new ability to change, the Holy Spirit of God. And when you walk with Him, when you seek Him, He gives you the power and the ability to do what you need to do. And then number three, in Jesus Christ, you got a new family. You got a new family. You got the church on the hill. You've got us. And God wants you to humbly and gratefully accept them. He said, these are my gifts to you. Listen to Acts 10:35. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as he says, the door is open. God the Father gave us Christmas because he wanted there to be a cross in the history of the world where God the Son died for the sins of man. Where the law that says the soul that sins, it shall die. Where that law is satisfied in the death of Jesus Christ. And here's what God says. God says, I give you a promise. I will share heaven beyond question and without a doubt. I will share my heaven with anyone and everyone who will believe on the work of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins, and receive that as being done not for the world. Jesus Christ didn't die for the world. He died for me. Amen. He died for you. Amen. And it needs to be personal. He died for me. And if you will bow your knee to Christ, you are Lord and you're God. And I want to ask you, will you step across the line this morning and say, Lord, I want Jesus in my life. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:15. Christ died for everyone. You know what that means? Jesus Christ died for Jews, Muslims, atheists, East Texas bubbas. Jesus died for cowboys. Why? So that all who live, listen, would not continue to live for themselves, but would live for Christ who died for them. One day, my heart and your heart is going to stop. It's going to be the end of our life on earth, but the Bible says it's not the end of you. Amen. You and I are going to continue living forever, and I'm either going to be in heaven or I'm going to be in hell. There's only two places to go. Now listen, if you've never prayed to receive Christ to be saved, I want to help you do that this morning. And we're going to close. I've got a prayer that I have put together. It's just like what I prayed to the Lord with a little bit extra added in. And everybody can pray this prayer. And I want us to do that this morning as we get ready to close. Now just listen, be real still. Some of you are going to be praying this prayer because I want every one of us to pray it. Some of you are going to be praying, and it's going to be your way of just kind of going down that road again and just saying, Lord, I'm praying this prayer, and I'm just giving thanks to you for what you've done for me in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're just going to pray it, and you're just going to rehearse it in your life. And then there's going to be others of you that are going to be praying it, God willing, for the very first time. And you're going to realize, I thought I was saved, but I wasn't. Or maybe you've already always known that you haven't, but you're ready to do that. So what I want us to do, would you just stand with me? Everybody just stand. And I want you, I'm not asking you to bow your heads, but I want you just close your eyes. And I want every one of us, I'm going to say it, and I want you to just pray it along with me. We're just going to pray it out loud, all right, all of us together. Dear God, thank you for your goodness to me. Thank you for loving me and caring about every detail of my life. And most of all, thank you for sending Jesus. Sending Jesus at Christmas to save me. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. And I right now invite Jesus into my life.